Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, corporate profits in the spotlight. It's fair to say that some investors have become rather worried that stocks are perhaps getting expensive, but companies are continuing to bring in impressive profit growth. What's driving this and can it continue? The idea that stocks are set for a fall has been a narrative in some quarters for a while, so why does that view persist? Our expert panellists will guide us through all the main issues, from strong earnings growth and how that continues to be supportive of revenue and profit momentum, to prevailing monetary policy and how that too is likewise supportive with low interest rates and easy funding conditions and so on. Let's start with David Lefkowitz, Senior Equity Strategist Americas at UBS Wealth Management CIO. Investors then are worried that stocks are getting expensive, but with companies bringing in impressive profit growth, we ask David, what's driving this and can it continue?
There definitely has been a recovery in earnings growth. So in the first quarter, earnings were up 15% and we're on pace here in the second quarter to be up right around 10% or so. So a clear improvement in earnings growth. Some of this is really related to the fact that we no longer have the headwinds from the commodity bust and emerging markets and the strong dollar. So all those three things were weighing on corporate profits in 2015 and 2016. Those have gone away, and now we're seeing some of the underlying strength come through. And then another part of it is just U.S. economy continues to kind of chug along. It's not a very rapid pace of growth, but it continues to be durable and, you know, sort of X-ing out those one-time effects from the rebound in those three areas I mentioned, you still have just solid underlying growth in the economy overall.
What's driving investors' concerns that stocks are getting expensive? We asked Marcus Ehrengartinger, strategist in the UBS CIO, that question and whether he thinks this process can continue.
We have strong earnings growth across the regions. I think that's positive to see. I mean, in the U.S., companies are beating the estimates, 12% earnings growth in the second quarter, year over year. And the same holds actually for Europe, double-digit earnings growth, strong numbers in Japan. And for sure, what's the reason, what's driving it? Actually, the good thing is there are a couple of factors driving it. On the one hand, it's the top line, which is advancing. So sales growth is also picking up. We have solid sales growth in all these regions, which I mentioned. And that's a reflection, a mirror image, of course, of the strong economic growth which we currently see. Secondly, we have still some margin expansion, depends a bit on the sectors, but still that is also ongoing, so that's a good sign. And what was driving it also this quarter was the base effect in the commodity sector, so energy companies had strong earnings growth. Looking forward, of course, these base effects, they will fade. So the strong growth in the energy sector I just mentioned will not continue. But what is a positive driver is this revenue growth and the global economic growth. And we are definitely of the view that will continue. So I understand that investors have worries, yes. But I think the solid economic backdrop around the globe will support continued earnings growth, but probably at slower growth rates from here as some base effects wane.
On that broad question of whether this will continue, Chris Swan, cross asset strategist at UBS, had this to say.
I think, first of all, if you look at the issue of valuation on the most traditional metric, which is the trailing price earnings ratio, then stocks are really pretty close to their 20-year average of around 18 times. And we see some more flexibility in terms of upside in valuation metrics relative to bonds. If you look at the equity risk premium, which is basically a measure of how much excess return investors require to invest in stocks as opposed to risk-free government bonds, then that looks a little better. So we're around 4.5%, and that's compared to an average of, say, 3.6%. Again, over the past 20 years. But as you mentioned, there's quite a lot of earnings upside, and I think it's being driven by several factors. The first is that the global economy has been in a pretty mature recovery mode. So more or less wherever you look in the world, the economic outlook has been brightening. And lots of the missing pieces that we've been seeing over recent years are being filled in. So, for example, in the United States, the U.S. consumer was not looking particularly exuberant, which is rather unusual for US consumers because they're usually an incredibly positive bunch. But over the past month, we've started to see that turn around. And if you turn your attention to Japan, again, this has been more or less the sort of weakest link in the global economic chain over recent years. And for the second quarter, we saw like a really staggering 4% growth in GDP, so that's extremely encouraging. And then you move on to emerging markets. We had great data out of Russia recently. And finally, the Eurozone, which has been on a recovery path. It's not just that the data's been good, it's also been broader. So we have been seeing the peripheral countries like Italy lagging, but Italy recently posted its best GDP growth figures since 2011. So basically, it's a very, very broad-based economic recovery, and that's extremely helpful for companies.
And next to Bloomberg's Ewan Potts for his take on what's driving this and whether it will continue.
This month marks the 10th anniversary of the beginning of the global financial crisis that set off the Great Recession. Now, if you go back to the autumn of 2008, the S&P 500 traded at 11 times its trailing earnings. Now, this is a key measure of how expensive stocks are. Stocks cost 11 times their earnings per share. Now, on that measure, they are 21 times. So, at least according to this ratio, stocks are twice as expensive as they were before. So, is the euphoria in the equities market matched by the real economy? Well, the US economy's current growth run is one of the longer expansions in history, but I think it's fair to say that GDP growth and job creation has been, well, pretty lackluster. As for wage growth in the US and in much of Europe, that's been almost non-existent. So what's been driving stock prices? I think to understand this, you need to look first to central bank policy and to the response to the economic crisis. And that response, monetary easing, creating cheap money, has been one of the key drivers of markets. The vast extra liquidity was meant to provide cheap funds for banks to lend to companies and consumers. And this has indeed happened in large part. But investors have also used that liquidity to bet on increases in equity prices and to invest in bonds as they sought to escape the zero rates on offer from bank deposits. But after an unprecedented period of low rates, central banks are now slowly starting to normalize, led by the Fed, which has raised rates four times and is planning to gradually start shrinking its assets under management. Now, it's true to say that corporate earnings have surged this year, and that's provided support for the continued rise in share prices. But if the economic picture doesn't justify the lofty valuations and monetary conditions are starting to tighten, then investors may start to wonder what's keeping those share prices in the sky.
That stocks are set for a fall has been a narrative in some quarters for a while. We asked David Lefkowitz if this is understandable, even if we don't go along with the idea.
I think it's understandable from the perspective of, you know, valuations are a little bit higher than average. And on some measures, they're actually a bit more than just a little bit higher than average. We tend to look at the forward PE multiple. On that basis, the S&P 500 is trading at 17.7 times. That's not that much higher than the long-term average of 15. But we do think that in an environment of low inflation and durable growth, that's when you should get valuation multiples that are a little bit higher than average. So we think the move has been fully justified by the fundamentals. Earnings growth this year looks like it's going to be up 11% and likely will be up something similar to that next year. And valuations don't look too stretched to us at this point.
Why does Marcus Erngartinger think we continue to hear this narrative? Why do some persist with it? Are they seeking cycles where there are none? Misreading history? Is the sheer length of this recovery, especially stateside, misleading them?
There are a couple of reasons. I mean, in the US, we have now a very long expansion phase. I mean, it's probably 2009. You can say that the US economy recovered from the recession, and now we have a very long expansion, and that's longer than the on average you had in the past. So people probably expect, oh, there must come some kind of economic setback, some kind of recession. And I think that's still in investors' mind as one of the drivers. Second driver could be we had very low volatility over the summer months. I mean, that has a bit changed now in August with some of the North Korean worries. But this low volatility, then you think, okay, it can go only higher. You can get more volatility. That means you can only get some setbacks. So I think these two factors together drive investors to these concerns. And then we always had kind of crises over the last couple of years. I mean, it's a big financial crisis, which is 9 years ago, then the European crisis, then emerging markets with their sell-off about 1.5 years ago. So this also is, of course, in investors' minds that you get these setbacks and you're not used to have gradually upwards grinding equity markets anymore.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider how monetary policy is also supportive of growth. Now, continued growth is supportive of revenue and profit momentum. We asked Chris Swan to explain to us how that process works.
It varies across the globe, but for example, in the Eurozone, a lot of companies have reasonably high operating leverage, which basically means that as revenues rise, they're spreading their costs over a much broader base, and so it feeds through into a disproportionate effect on profits that were right down at the bottom line. So if you take the Eurozone, for example, although the euro itself has been relatively strong and that's a potential brake on profit growth, we think this is being offset by broadly stronger global demand, as you mentioned, rising revenues, and that's feeding through very nicely into the bottom line. So in the second quarter, we've got about 80% so far of the results in, and it looks like a 10% or thereabouts increase in earnings per share.
So continued growth is supportive of revenue and profit momentum, and monetary policy is likewise supportive, what with low interest rates, easy funding conditions and so on. Is that another key point here to bear in mind, according to David Lefkowitz?
That's a key part of the backdrop. So the fact that inflation remains pretty well contained, in fact, we've seen some more disappointing inflation readings over the last few months, means that the Fed and really central banks around the world can continue to have an accommodative stance in terms of monetary policy. In other words, interest rates will likely remain lower for longer. I mean, that's good news for growth. At the end of the day, if inflation is picking up to an extent that the Fed becomes more, or let's say the Fed becomes less comfortable, they may start hiking interest rates more than the economy can withstand, and that would be a more dangerous sort of set of conditions. So the fact that interest rates are still low, it means that companies have easy access to capital, homeowners also have very attractive financing options. So that's all fuel for the continued growth in the economy, and that's definitely playing into the sustainability of the economic expansion.
How does supportive monetary policy, from low interest rates to easy funding conditions, fit in, according to Marcus Erngartinger?
We have it across the globe, these easy monetary conditions, and that helps, I would say, also to drive global growth, and that we have in all the regions economic growth picking up. Still going forward, I would say one should expect some gradual tightening of the central banks. I mean, definitely we have the discussion about the balance sheet adjustment in the US, which will come up in the September meeting most likely, and also in the Eurozone. The big question is how the ECB will proceed in 2018, but still conditions will remain easy even if central banks start to reduce their bond buying program, for example in Europe, or if the Fed in the US invests or reinvests less of their bonds. They will do this only against the backdrop of good economic growth. So from that side, I think monetary policy will remain supportive, although it will gradually tighten, but it's not yet tight in a sense, but of course they will gradually remove liquidity as growth is pretty strong and they can afford to remove it. Especially, I mean, the US, they look at the labor market as well, and the unemployment rate is quite low at 4.3%. So that gives them room to move ahead with their gradual.
We asked Chris Swan, too, to explain why he sees monetary policy as supportive.
It certainly is, yeah. You would expect this perhaps to become less of a tailwind over coming years, but at the moment it's very much in place. So, for example, in the second quarter, the Japanese and European central banks injected around almost $500 billion of liquidity into the global system just in that quarter alone. We might see the European central bank edging towards a tapering of quantitative easing, i.e. they'll be buying slightly fewer government bonds than they are at present, but they'll still be buying government bonds through next year, according to most accounts. And the same is true of the Bank of Japan, that although conditions are improving in Japan, we wouldn't expect the Bank of Japan to reverse course and start to tighten monetary policy.
Next on the programme, a further note from Chris Swan, specifically on this picture as relevant to the energy and financial sectors.
Corporate profits are generally on the rise, but we would expect a disproportionate increase, or sort of as our preferred sectors remain energy and financials. In the case of financials, they should benefit as interest rates gradually edge higher and as the yield curve steepens somewhat. And then, of course, the energy sectors are getting a boost because we're seeing a stabilization of oil prices, and our expectation is that oil prices will even rise somewhat over the next 6 months.
And one other point on valuation from David Lefkowitz.
Valuation is not a very good timing tool. So even though valuation measures might be a little bit higher than average, valuation doesn't tend to have any correlation with returns in over time horizons less than 3 years. So valuation is a much better tool at giving us a better sense for longer term returns from equities. But just the fact that valuations may be a little bit elevated doesn't really tell us anything about the probabilities of how that will impact shorter term returns. That's going to be more driven by the business cycle and corporate profits, and both of those look like they're very much on track.
And a final further thought on valuation, which, as Markus Angartinger concedes, remains an investor concern.
That's clear. Valuation is definitely not cheap anymore. Some markets are clearly above their long-term averages. I would call it moderately overvalued in some regions. So that's probably also one of the investor concerns, that valuation is not so appealing anymore. But still, one should consider two factors. One is relative to bonds. I think equities are still attractive, so that will also support inflows into the equity market, and therefore the setback is less likely. And I think also second reason is that the valuations are not yet stretched. They are not at record high levels, and the economic backdrop of low interest rates also supports somewhat higher valuations. So from that side, I think also the worry probably coming from valuation, as you mentioned, is also not justified at current valuations.
And that's Markus Angartinger bringing us to the end of this 151st edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.